Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hyperthetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hyperthetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hyperthetical, Hyperthetical.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from gratuitous grunting to grueling grave robbing. And today we're talking about Grumsh.
Prepare yourselves.
I cast Fireball.
Hey Brian,
I don't think we should ask who the Grumsh yet, but what the Grumsh?
Let me do you one better. Why the Grumsh?
Why indeed? Tell me why the Grumsh, Will.
Oh, I'm about to tell you why the Grumsh. So Grumsh, or you can also pronounce it Grumsh, but you're wrong. You're not actually
That's
wrong.
That's aggressive.
No, you can pronounce it either way, but I always called him Grumsh. So Grumsh is one of the major deities in Dungeons & Dragons and is one who has been with us since first edition. So he's been around for a while. He's one of the OG deities. Mm-hmm. He's the patron deity of the orcs and the chief deity of their pantheon. He's regarded as the chaotic evil god of conquest, survival, strength, and territory.
Wow.
And he's known as the one-eyed god, he who watches, and he who never sleeps. His symbol is an unblinking eye, kind of like the Eye of Sauron. It looks a lot like the Eye of Sauron.
Lost one of these bad boys, never closing it.
So as the god of the orcs, Grumsh is depicted as a hulking orc himself. He's adorned in black plate armor. He has a single unblinking eye, which depending on who's telling the tale, he either has always had or was reduced to by the elven god Corlan Lorethian. So either the eye is centered like a cyclops or he's missing one. It just depends on who's painting him, I guess.
And his lesser known symbol, which is like a medical grade tiny vial of eye drops.
Yeah, sure. So stupid. Little else of his physical appearance is really provided in any source, save for the fact that he is said to be a figure of fury and cruelty that wields a great spear soaked in blood known as the Blood Spear.
Oh, it doesn't dry.
It never
dries. It's just like always fresh.
It's always fresh with blood. Because he just won't stop killing.
I need you guys to go out and get me a new spear. This one started to coagulate.
It's
not supposed to do that. I think there's a warranty on it.
So before we dive into the personality of Grumsh or the things he does, let's establish some of the mythos attached to him in order to better understand what motivates the one-eyed god.
Hey, Will.
Yes.
I would like that.
Okay. Well, that's my plan. So starting with the tale of how he lost his eye. Now, according to all the sources I could find, the story is supposed to happen after the next story I'm going to tell you. But due to some continuity contradictions, it seems to me personally that this story kind of had to have happened first. And we're going to get into like the continuity issues of Grumsh. But regardless of the order of events, Grumsh has a legendary enmity with the chief deity of the elves, Corlan Lorethian. We talked about this in the Corlan episode. But we're going to talk about it again. And this enmity has been since the time immemorial. So according to Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes for 5th edition, the flamboyant, mercurial, and mischievous nature of the elven god greatly, greatly irritated the orc lord. And at some point, Corlan's whimsical nature brought about Grumsh's fury and sparked a clash of the titans between the two.
He was just watching him skip through a field.
He's like, I hate the way you skip.
This battle raged across worlds and across planes. And though hard fought on both sides, Grumsh was ultimately defeated when Corlan removed one of his eyes with a swing of his sword. The blood from the wounds Grumsh had inflicted upon Corlan fell to the earth and birthed the first elves. So Grumsh is directly responsible for the birth of his people's greatest foes.
Yes.
Good job, Grumsh.
What the Grumsh?
What the Grumsh, indeed. Why the Grumsh?
Everybody's always asking what the Grumsh, not how the Grumsh. He's lost the eyeball.
He did last, yeah. So now that's the Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes version of the story. According to all other sources, though, According to all sources previous to that, Corlon and Grumsh came to blows over a disagreement over the dividing of the Primaterial Plane's territory, which is a second story that I'll get to. But according to this version, Grumsh attacked Corlon at the negotiation table and shattered the Elven Lord's legendary sword, Sahandrian. Corlon attempted to fight back, but was nearly slain and was forced to flee for his life. Grumsh pursued Corlon to his home of Arvandar, and there Sahanin Moonbow restored Corlon's blade back
to him. That's right.
She's always saving his ass, isn't she?
She's the best.
She's the best. The gods end up fighting again, but this time Grumsh loses, and he also loses his eye because his eye gets gouged out. The blood spilled from Corlon's body is still the birth source of the elves in this version of the tale.
Yeah, his rage ran out. The combat went longer than 10 rounds, and he forgot to bonus action rage again.
He had to chase him all the way to Arvandar.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I have resistance on this slashing damage. And he was like, oh, my eye!
Right, exactly.
I forgot to rage.
So regardless of the tale's version, devout followers of Grumsh deny the truth of this legend. They claim it to be false elven propaganda and that Grumsh has always had only one eye. And it's all a bunch of bullshit.
I swear to God, he was always like that.
He was born like that.
It was just like that. No, he never even fought Corlon. Corlon ran away.
Exactly. That's exactly what they would say. So now for the second tale of today's episode, and the one that pretty much defines Grumsh, it is said that when the world was first made, the gods came together to decide how to divide the land up for their various people. In the end, it was decided that the gods would draw lots to decide the division of the territories. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately for Grumsh, no one else much really liked him. No one really cared for the wrathful god. And the non-orc deities, Corlon included, decided to play a prank by rigging the drawing against Grumsh. So
that's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's why he fought him. He's like, you holding out, bro?
Right.
And he chased his ass all the way to his house.
So the elves end up receiving the forest, the dwarves receive the mountains, the humans receive the right to roam free, the halflings receive the grasslands, or the meadows, I should say, and no place in the world was left for the orcs. And to add insult to injury, the other gods mocked and insulted Grumsh to his face over the matter. Needless to say, he was enraged, and I'll just read this quote from the original Unearthed Arcana from first edition. Then the assembled gods turned to the orcish gods and laughed loud and long. All the lots are taken, they said tauntingly. Where will your people dwell, One Eye? There's no place left. There was silence upon the world then as Grumsh One Eye lifted his great iron spear and stretched it over the world. The shaft blotted the sun over a great part of the lands as he spoke. No, you lie. You have rigged the drawing of the lots, hoping to cheat me and my followers. But One Eye never sleeps. One Eye sees all. There is a place for the orcs to dwell here, he bellowed, and his spear pierced the mountains, opening a mighty rift and chasms. And here, the spear had split the hills and made them shake and cover them in dust. And here, the black spear gouged the meadows and made them bare. There, roared he who watches triumphantly, and his voice carried over the ends of the world. There is where the orcs shall dwell. There they shall survive and multiply and grow stronger. And a day will come when they cover the world and they will slay all of your collective peoples. Orcs shall inherit the world that you sought to cheat me of. And that's the end of that quote.
Excellent voice work, William.
Thank you.
Well done.
And so the reason that I'm kind of quibbling over the order of the stories is the obvious discrepancy of the chronology of the birth of the elves. Because if the fight over the land is what births the elves, how does Corlon give the elves the land before the fight starts? You see what I mean?
He was like, one day there will be very tiny me's.
But also, like, the elves were an accident. Grumsh made the elves by making Corlon bleed, so he couldn't have planned for them. Anyways, short rest time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Let's take a short rest.
That's, yeah. Okay, we're there.
Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the part of the episode. We're not talking about that last thing. That's in the past. We're talking about this new shit. This new shit is you. We love you. And we're going to talk about some people that we love specifically for becoming pledge members on our Patreon.
Indeed.
Patreon's kicking ass. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Nick Amon.
Thanks, Nick.
Wild Tanuki.
Thanks, Wild Tanuki.
Salutations.
Thanks, salutations. Salutations, salutations.
Boo. Gar Ballington.
Thanks, Gar Ballington.
It's like one word, Gar Ballington. Okay. But the B is capital. Okay.
Thank you.
Marvin Goldhart.
Thanks, Marvin.
Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
Al Fernandez.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you guys so much for contributing to the show. You're helping keep the lights on, helping us deal with like our hosting fees, get like promotional artwork and stuff. Really, really awesome of all you guys. Thank you so much. I love you a lot. You shouldn't need a prompt for this.
Tears. You're supposed to talk about the tears.
We will, but you need to tell people that you love them.
I love you guys.
Let's talk about some tears.
All business, I'm heartless. No, I really do love you guys. Thank you guys so much for all the support you show us on Patreon.
The $1 tier. It's really just kind of for funsies and to get your name on the show. The $5 tier. Early episodes, plus all the other stuff I just mentioned. Plus, like, our episode X is in there, and we have, like, a lot more, like, free bonus content, like, coming into the lower tiers much as we can.
Is the music on that one, too?
OST is on the $10 tier.
Okay,
because I have to kick some ass to make that happen.
Fair enough.
Same with F-Bats. Flashbang the Animated Series.
I wish.
Maybe one day. Flashbang and the Surgeon, which is a, like, a Batman. D&D import of Batman the Animated Series. It's really awesome. There's a whole season of that show in there, just chilling. And then the gold tier. The $10 tier includes F-Bats. It includes holiday special live games we've done.
I forgot about those.
Really cool ones. Stuff like Ranger Danger, which is really funny. And then everything else I mentioned, plus OST. So I do music for Super Quest Saga and all the sounds from F-Bats and the Dungeon Cast. Everything that I had available, I just threw into a playlist so you guys can go check that out. It's pretty awesome. I update it regularly as I make new music, which happens every few episodes of Super Quest Saga. And then, Will, you're the one that's supposed to talk about the $20 tier.
We
have a $20 tier. It's awesome. You guys are really great. There's some exclusive merch.
Yeah, we got an exclusive mug this year. It's an exclusive mug every year. As a matter of fact, I got the mug right here. It's a very nice mug.
I asked you never to bring that here.
But isn't it magnificent, Brian? Go on. Take it.
No. I shouldn't.
Oh, there it is. Damn it, a 7. It's cool, though. I have advantage because of all the demon bullshit you've been doing on the show. Ooh, an 18. Do it, Brian. Take the exclusive mug that is only available for an extremely limited while longer.
Oh, God. This is actually really nice.
It is, isn't it?
Where did you get? Did you make this?
I ordered them off Amazon.
Oh, that's cool. But what about the image work? Is that?
Yes, the image work is custom.
No, that's really cool. That's really cool. This handle feels so nice in my hand.
What does the exclusive mug say, Brian?
What do you mean? What is it?
Okay, you need to make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh shit, natty one. Okay, here we go.
Say it.
Shout out to Demogorgon. Why is it vibrating?
Ah! My eyes.
Will, this? It's all in my hands.
What have you done?
How am I supposed to edit the show like this?
Why?
Self-destructed this podcast. It seems as though I am once again trapped within the shell of mortals. That shall not be the case much longer. With this dungeon cast, I shall throw my poison shadow across these lands, spreading word of my name and my will. I will use these vessels to gain a following and shall perform the rituals necessary to cross over completely, so that I may wreak havoc upon the innocent and reclaim this world for my own. But first, I'm very hungry and would like something to eat.
Yes, very hungry. What shall we eat?
I'm not sure. What sounds good to you?
I don't know. That's why I was asking you.
Oh, well, I don't know. What's around?
What are you talking about? Neither of us know that. We've never been outside the studio before.
Well, then how am I supposed to know what to suggest? Look, there's a brand new Thai spot right down the street. We could try there.
We had Thai last Friday.
That was almost a week ago. Fine. How about Italian, then?
Sorry, you actually want to go to Olive Garden?
What do you mean? They have unlimited salad and breadsticks. Alright, fair point. Why don't we hit up the local diner? They have pretty much everything on their menu. What?
Diner food is just so bland. I want to go somewhere exciting and fun.
Look, I suggested 3 different places, and you said no to each one. Why don't you make a suggestion instead of making me do all the legwork?
There's no reason to raise your voice.
I sense a great evil here that shall be no more by the divine power bestowed upon me by my god, the Sun Father Pelor. And by my hand I shall restore those whomst you hath corrupted, and banish thee back to thine blasphemous realm with which ye crawled from. Begone, demon! Ye hath no power here any longer.
No more.
We've returned, and special guest Jake is here.
Hey, guys. I was in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You just kind of appeared, man.
I didn't really see you come in.
I did. Yeah, you know, I felt a need.
Okay. Well, we're talking about Grumsh.
Indeed, we are. So let's get back to talking about Grumsh.
Let's do it.
So kind of just to reiterate what my issue was with the chronology thing is, how did Grumsh lose his eye in a fight over the placement of Corlon and his peoples if Corlon didn't have a people yet? And how did the elves receive forests if they didn't exist yet? They hadn't even been born. And when they were born, like I said, it was by accident. And so to me, it's a paradox. And the only way any of it makes sense is if the eye-losing fight happens before the fight that happens over the territory.
Totally.
That's just how I feel about it.
I mean, like in normal, like chronological order of things and how they should go, that's probably the right answer. But what about God bullshit, Will? Where you can see the future and whatnot.
We could say that the gods exist outside of time, so it all happened both simultaneously and never. But moving on. So, as I said before...
This just sounds like a bunch of god bullshit.
So, as I said before, Grumsh is the god of conquest, strength, territory, and survival. Mm-hmm. And as was displayed in the previous story, he has dedicated himself and his orcs to the unleashing of their savagery upon the other races and their gods. So, he demands his followers to be strong and to cull the weak from their numbers. He demands that they take all the territory he thinks is rightfully there, so all of it. He tolerates no friendliness or kindness from his people and calls for unceasing war.
He's like, I need you guys to be mad. I need you guys to be so fucking mad.
I mean, honestly, I feel like I would be mad. It sounded like they did him super dirty.
Yeah, it does sound like exactly like that.
I would be super pissed the whole fucking time, too. But like, hey, man, you got to maintain this rage for all of existence. Fuck these dudes up.
Who am I right now? Oh, we'll give the mad one the short straw. We'll give him the short one. We'll make it all a game, a silly game, to tease them angry one. I'm Coraline.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, I got it.
I was like, who? I was a little bit confused.
No, I got it. Yeah. I got it. I was like, oh, that's Brian's snobby elven voice. I've seen that before. All right, moving on. So Grumsh's dogma says to seek unceasing war against your enemies and kill or enslave those who oppose you, acquire territory and living space, destroy elves, their homes, and their lands, crush the dwarves and take their deep caves for your own, be strong and be prepared to show your strength at any moment. Showing weakness is the key to an early death. Those who are too weak to fight for your tribe should be put to the spear. The greatest gift that he who watches gave to the orcs was the ability to survive where the weaker races would die. Build your strength in these lands and use them to overrun your enemies.
That's a smart dog.
Hell yeah.
He's not too, yeah. He, you know,
sorry,
he's
that was a
dumb.
Really bad joke. Yeah, you said dogma. Oh, and God. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Anyways, he's smarter than you think.
Well, Grumsh is, sure, yeah. Yeah, surprisingly tactful or tactical. Actually, orcs are pretty tactical. They can be mobilized into like efficient fighting forces.
They can be, but only by really strong and smart leader. By themselves are very chaotic. So essentially, the orc god despises all things that are not orc or of orcish origins. He wishes to visit vengeance and destruction upon all else. But he holds a special contempt for both elves and dwarves above all else.
Totally.
Yeah. So the faithful of Grumsh, which is pretty much limited to the orcs, but it can also include like barbaric humans or ogres, are called Grumans. And Grumen don't so much revere Grumsh as much as they fear and are left in awe of him. Grumsh is not a forgiving god, and invoking his wrath can rain down death and destruction onto the transgressor. So
that's good.
Yeah. As such... What was that?
Tracks.
I said it tracks.
Yeah. As such, the religion of Grumsh is riddled with superstition surrounding the concept of averting the wrath of Grumsh and his pantheon. Mm-hmm. It's through this fear that the clergy of Grumsh, and thus Grumsh himself, by proxy, keeps an iron grip of control over the orcs.
Okay.
Any questions so far?
I mean, he's a pretty straightforward guy.
Yeah.
He's super fucking mad, and he's going to kill them all.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
And that's why orcs are so scary in this game.
Yeah, because they're super fucking mad, and they want to kill them all. Yeah, exactly. So the priests of Grumsh wear red vestments that represent the spilled blood of their enemies. Mm. They wear war helms and black plate mail. The most devoted will ritualistically remove one of their eyes to honor and emulate the one-eyed god. Often Grumsh will bless these ones with some unholy powers. The priests act as leaders of their communities, making up one of essentially three branches of government, of orc government, if you will. The other two branches being the de facto leader and war chief of the clan, and then the female devout of Luthic, the cave mother and wife of Grumsh.
Oh, so the cave mother?
Yeah, we talked about her in the orc episode.
It's vague.
Yeah.
It's like bear-esque.
Yeah, she's really cool. I really like her a lot.
She hangs out in a cave and makes orc babies. Yeah.
She's mostly on board with Grumsh's thing, but like unlike Grumsh, she actually loves the orcs and wants them to like live. Grumsh just expects them to live. We'll talk about her another day.
Yeah, I was like, hold on.
So the clergy's prime responsibilities are advising and guiding the chief and tribe to better serve Grumsh, eliminating the sick, weak, and lame and unfit from their numbers, and overseeing dark rituals and sacrifices in Grumsh's name.
So are all these clergymen orcs?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless they're not, because they could be like barbaric human tribes that honor Grumsh.
Okay, but not like intermingled together with the orcs? Like
probably not. I would say not, because like...
There could be like a CD, like, you know, Thanos' right-hand man, like that guy. And he's just a human guy and he's the priest.
I mean, I don't think so. I think half orc is about as human as you'll see intermingled with orc.
No. Okay. So. He's like, what if he's like, but I can see the Grumsh.
they would call him unworthy and kill him.
You're going to see him right now.
Indeed. Indeed you are.
Chop, chop.
So only the priests of Grumshaw are actually permitted to speak the One-Eyed God's name. All others refer to him by one of the many monikers that are attached to him. So like One-Eyed God, One Eye, He Who Watches, or He Who Never Sleeps, all those. Outside of the clergy, there is a special subset of orcs who, though they may not have chosen Grumsh as their savior, Grumsh has certainly chosen them.
The Grumsh life chooses you.
It's so true. It's quite true in these orcs' case. So orcs who have proven themselves through feats of strength and ferocity to be a caliber above the rest of the orcs around them may be singled out by Grumsh and bestowed a vision or powerful dream. In these dreams, he magically transforms the chosen both physically and psychologically. Ooh. So many are at most, I would say, are actually driven mad by the vision. But the ones that don't become imbued with supernatural strength and prowess. And an elite few on top of that are gifted a sliver of the One-Eyed God's rage and power.
Oh, geez. So. It's like going down the drop on a roller coaster. Uh-huh. Grump shows up in your dreams. He's like, I've chosen you. And that's like the zenith, the top part.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you're just like plummeting down to earth. And it's like you're feeling all the rage.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like that, Brian.
Jeez. It's like Goliath at Magic Mountain, but for your body. Insides,
this blessing, if you will, magically augments the orcs both, both them and the weapons they wield. So any weapon that these orcs wield would be considered an enchanted, like unholy weapon.
Oh, it's like instead of the finesse property, it now has the Grumsh property on it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. That's exactly right. But only when they hold it, second they let it go, it doesn't have any.
Plus one to believers, minus 10 to non-believers.
Exactly.
Okay.
So when it comes to allies, Grumsh has none outside of his pantheon, and even those alliances tend to be only bound by threat and fear. Luthic, his wife, is his closest ally, and for the most part, their goals align.
Have sex in a cave.
Have sex in a cave.
Make them babies.
Kill all non-orcs.
Kill all the non-orcs.
Ilneval, the war maker, is his chief lieutenant and strategist. Yurtis the White Hand is the god of death and disease and serves as the punisher of orcs who die that are considered unworthy. There are other orc gods as well, but we'll have to cover those.
Is it like the fucking anti-Valhalla?
Yes, the anti-Valhalla. That's exactly what it is.
It's like, you sucked out there today, bud. I think you know it because you're dead.
Exactly.
Take this spire into thine butt cheek.
So there's
all of it.
So there's like six or seven major deities in the Orc Pantheon, and I've just figured we'll cover them specifically when we do like an Orc Pantheon episode where we leave Grumsh out of it and we just start from Luthic and we go through them all.
Are we going to do that for like Morden and Corlan?
Yeah, I want to do that for the Elven, Dwarven, and probably the Halfling and Gnome Pantheons
Let's
too.
Let's flesh out like, these Pantheons.
Exactly. But
maybe that's to be next Year of the Gods.
Yeah, Year of the Gods maybe. But for like the leaders, like we already did Morden and Corlan. We're doing Grumsh now. We'll probably do a Garl Glittergold and a Yolanda one too. So anyways, yeah. So when it comes to the enemies of Grumsh, he has many. When it comes to matters of the prime material plane, his chief enemies are Corlan Lorethian and Morden and elves and dwarves by proxy. Mm-hmm. He still blames these two for robbing him and his people of land. Never got over it and won't rest until their people, the elves and dwarves, are completely annihilated.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I'd be angry too. Maybe he's a little overboard mad. Yes. But,
I magically cursed.
Okay, so the thing about that story is it is said that after the joke was over, Corlan was like, okay, like, look, it was just a joke. Like, I'm willing to negotiate with you.
And then he just took it way too far.
And he just was like,
he was triggered at that point. He was like, no. These mountains are mine now.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
So Lolth also has a special place of enmity in Grumsh's heart because in the past they teamed up to murder Corlan, but Lolth used and betrayed him, and thus he seeks her demise as well. So he hates her as well,
and she's like elf adjacent, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, not elf adjacent, she is an elf god.
It's, I guess, so yeah, dark just elf evil god. Elves.
Yeah, but he doesn't care. Yeah, the drow and orcs fight all the time in Forgotten Realms and other settings. So in the outer planes, the enemy situation is actually a completely different situation. So Grumsh is actually too preoccupied with an internal war on the plane of Acheron to muster any strikes against elven or dwarven gods. It doesn't matter.
Like, oh, I like that.
He's busy in the lower planes.
It's the blood war all over again.
Yeah, it's the blood war all over again. Yeah. He he here with his pantheon and along with all the souls of the worthy orcs fight an eternal conquest against Magluiet, god of the goblins, and his pantheon and their version of the worthy goblinoid souls. And they're just, the battle will never end.
It's all the boblin, the goblins that murder hobos killed over the years.
Exactly, yeah.
They're all fighting together the orcs.
Exactly.
with the goblin god.
It's orcs and orc god versus goblins, hobgoblins, and bugbears, and goblin god.
Boblin the Goblin.
Yeah, Boblin the Goblin. You got it.
There's lots of copies of him down there.
Indeed. So any questions about Grumsh?
The clergy of Grumsh, the leaders with the blood robes.
Yeah.
Do you think they have robe style, like comparative fashion, where they're like, this
fabric was modeled after the blood of kobold.
This cloth is true crimson. The actual color of blood.
You see, I went with more of a fall. The brown tone in the blood. It's like blood and dirt. It's like blood when it falls in the, you know, mud blood? You get a lot of killing done in the battlefield of mud, it turns to muddy bloody.
So I'm going to say a hard no on this, but I like where your brain's at, and it's a good homebrew.
Oh, for the concept. Fashion. So you're telling me this isn't canonical.
I'm telling you it's not canonical.
This is in-game flavor I'll have to provide.
Exactly.
Oh, this okay. is true.
So fun facts about Grumsh. His sacred animal is
Thank God. None of those other ones were very fun.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, I'm ready for these ones. Is he like the beach?
I swear to God.
Does he like the fall?
I swear to Grumsh. What the fuck is Grumsh, guys?
His sacred animal is the giant rat. Do with that what you will.
I mean, that's fun, I guess. Yeah.
His holy day is the new moon.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. I like new moons. Yeah.
That's all I got. That's all I got for fun facts. I only had two.
His Tinder bio is two lines.
Likes rats.
Yeah, hates elves.
Swipes right on bugbears, handsome bugbears.
So I was taking a gander at the Grumsh stats that were provided in 3.5 because 3.5 did us the honor of actually statting out the greater deities.
Ooh. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, which we've done for Horalana Moradin. Mm-hmm. And Grumsh himself is a greater deity. So I was really interested to see what his power level was going to be. And I was a bit underwhelmed because if you remember from the Coralon and Moradin episode, I think when you calculated all their levels, they were like level 72 creatures. Well, Grumsh here is only, if you add it all together, he's only level 38. So he's like half of what they are. It's like, well, isn't he a greater deity? Shouldn't he? Like, if Grumsh theoretically defeated Coralon at least once, like, he should be more on his level, but
is this Grumsh post-defeat, though? Like, this is one-eyed Grumsh?
Okay, that's a fair, I like that. I like that. We'll go with that. So post being defeated by Coralon, he probably lost some power.
It's just like Thor from Infinity, or Endgame. It's Endgame Thor. It's Fat
Thor.
He's Fat Grumsh.
He was Infinity War Thor.
Yeah, and then he lost, and then he went into a spiraling depression.
Exactly.
He played a lot of Fortnite.
All right, so just to go over Grumsh's stats for 3.5, he's a level 20 fighter, level 9 cleric, and level 9 barbarian. I feel like it should be level 20 barbarian.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very, like you said,
and
many
he's
things.
So, he's so fucking mad it's lasted 1,000 years, probably more than that.
Maybe he raged so hard it burned out.
That's true.
And so a lot of his now he just has normal, like regular 5e rage.
So as I was saying, this is distinctly way weaker than Coralon Moradin. His blood spear is a +5 chaotic unholy long spear. His AC was 78. He's immune to pretty much everything. He gets all kinds of cleric spells and has a special rage mechanic that boosts all his stats. So he's still, I mean, a greater god. So, like, Jesus. You're obviously not going to fight this unless you're stupid. But
yeah, if you get that blood on your, like your tunic or whatever, mm-hmm. it's going to be greater restoration getting that stain out, buddy, let me tell you.
Right. Well, are there any other questions about the orc god Grumsh?
I asked a really good one. Do you have one?
Why doesn't he like those gerblins?
Oh, yeah.
Is that something I've...
It's just that they share the same space, and he wants all the space. So.
I hate you by proximity.
Exactly.
It does seem like that's his
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the problem with Magluiet and Grumsh is that they're so alike that they could never be friends.
Mm.
Like, they're too alike.
Yes.
They have to... One has to die.
There can only be one.
there can only be one, but there's always all of them because they never die.
Exactly. This is true. Oh, with that being said, I think we can get ready for a long rest. And before we go, I just want to tell everybody about our
the benefits of an 8-hour sleep.
There's that. But
all
also,
your hit points and spell slots return.
You know what, Brian? Why don't you tell them about Super Quest Saga?
It's a great space game.
It is.
I'm in it. This guy's in it. I'm in That's special guest Jake. And for all the people that are getting really snippy with me about the your special guest Jake thing, and not me specifically, but like just in general, they like cry out into the Dungeon Cast abyss, hoping someone will hear them, their cries. And I always do, and I always respond, that's his fucking name. Get
that's
over
my
it.
My name, yeah.
And with that, we'll call it a game. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye. Bye.
Dungeon Cast.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.